guest with us today, maybe things will make a little bit more sense. You're thinking this is either the greatest place in the world and I can't wait to come back, or I am never coming back to this place, one or the other. But what we've been talking about in the month of December is how to throw a great party. And so we decided to culminate that with throwing a great party. And so that's what we're doing today. And throughout this month, the very first week of this month, if you weren't here, the title of that sermon was Be My Guest. And so one of the first things you do when you plan a party is you invite people. You invite people to come, and you think about who your invitation list is going to be. And so what we began to talk about was, as people who invite other people, as people who are planning a party, we decided in the very first week, in the very first 5 minutes of the very first week, we were going to go ahead and talk about what the party was. So way back on December the 7th, I think it was, or December the 3rd maybe, we said the party is this. The party is not December the 24th when we throw this party here. The party is not December 25th. The party's not church. The party is not a revival service that we might invite someone to. But the party is life with Jesus. And so that's what we've been talking about throughout the month of December is the party is life with Jesus. Now that first week when we talked about Be My Guest, we talked about what is my role in inviting other people to the party. Now this is what we said. That it's important to invite people to life with Jesus. And we know that everyone's invited to that party. There's nobody that's excluded. I mean, when it comes to life with Jesus, it is no private party. We're not just inviting a few friends over. We're not just inviting 50 people over. Everybody is invited to the party when it's life with Jesus. But there's a disconnect, and we talked about that. The disconnect is this. It's that we know that life with Jesus is the most important thing. That's important. And we know that everyone is invited, but so often people don't really connect. Everybody's invited to life with Jesus, but why do people not connect? And one of the reasons we talked about was this, is sometimes our mentality is that it's only an invitation mentality. We just invite people. We invite people to church. We invite people to a revival service. We invite people. We think that maybe one of the best forms of evangelism is just to go up to somebody cold turkey and invite them to Jesus. And that's a great way to invite somebody. That is, there are people who come to know Jesus that way. But what we said is, day to day in our lives, to see the most people come to know Jesus, what is one of the best ways that the most people will come to life with Jesus? And that is this. Not only do we invite people to the party, but we get to know people. Does that make sense? We get to know people so that they know us, so that when we invite them to the party, they have something to go on. The big word we used a few weeks ago was relational integrity. What's that mean? That means that if you were to invite somebody, guys, if you were to invite somebody to your birthday party and you didn't know them at all and they didn't know you at all, what would they probably be thinking? What? Huh? What do you want? What do you want from me? So we talked about that. We get invitations to weddings. We get invitations to graduations of people that we barely know. But when it comes to life with Jesus, people are more willing to listen about Jesus when they've seen Jesus in your life. Does that make sense? People are willing to understand you when you've taken the time to understand them. So that's what we talked about. Investment and invitation. Not just invite alone, but invest in people's lives. Be my guest. I want you to be my guest when it comes to life with Jesus. And when I invite you, I want you to be able to know that you've seen enough in my life that life with Jesus looks good to you. Does that make sense? So what we talked about is that investment precedes invitation. All right, that was the first week. Second week, we talked about this. Our title of the second week was, as we were getting ready to how to throw a great party, was The Hostess with the Mostest. What's that mean? Anytime you throw a party, you host, and you put in all the work for all the preparations in hosting that party. You are a person of hospitality. And what we talked about was that one of the best ways to build relationships with other people, people who know Jesus a lot, people who know Jesus very little, people who don't know Jesus at all, is to open up our homes, to be willing to open up our homes and our lives to befriend people. That's what we talked about. The first week we talked about building friendships for the sake of eternity. The second week we talked about opening our homes and our lives to people to befriend them. And we talked about, how do you do that? Well, we specifically honed in on our homes, on our houses. Because when you open up your home, you're opening up your life. You're saying, come do life with us. This is where you really get to know us. And so we tried to break down all of the reasons sometimes that we don't host people in our homes. And we said, just one of the important things is just to be yourself. Another thing is just make the time for it. Just make the time. Sometimes it's not as big a deal as we make it out to be. It's like setting an extra plate at dinner or maybe reserving every other Saturday night to have friends over, to have them in our home. And then we said, give up on the idea of perfection. I talked to a lot of people the next week, and I think that was the point that really hit with a lot of people. Give up on the idea of perfection. Things are going to go wrong. The house doesn't have to be perfect. The meal doesn't have to be perfect. What's important is that we're befriending people by having them in our home. And the last thing was to focus on people. Because sometimes, even when we do have people in our home and our desire is good, we get so caught up in the busyness that we forget that the people we're hosting, what we want to do is spend time with them and step into their lives and listen to them and share with each other. And so we talked about hospitality, being a good host. Well, now this week we're talking about the party. What is the party? Well, this, like I said earlier, today is not the party, although we're wanting to throw a really good party. But when we begin to talk about life with Jesus, this is not the party, but this is where we're going to talk about the party. Now, we're going to look at those three words. Life with Jesus. Okay? Life with Jesus. Now, when you think about life, when we get to know Jesus, a change happens inside of us. Boys and girls, you guys that are in kindergarten or fifth grade, you were just up here. Raise your hand if you know what a caterpillar is. You know what a caterpillar is? What does a caterpillar look like? Looks like a worm, doesn't it? And what does a caterpillar turn into? Butterfly, doesn't it? It looks really different than when it was a caterpillar. A caterpillar looks like a worm. And then it turns into a beautiful butterfly. You know what happens in our life? When we get to know Jesus, a change happens. And we look different, not on the outside, but we look different on the inside after we get to know Jesus than we did before we knew Jesus. Just like a caterpillar and a butterfly. There's a change that happens. The question for you this morning is, before you can think about life with Jesus, you have to answer the question, have I been changed by Jesus? Has Jesus changed me? So that's the first question. And then, when we begin to think about life with Jesus, this is a good question, and a lot of people ask it. And when you begin to enter into real conversations with real people about spiritual topics, people will say this, why would I want to do that? I love the life I'm living. What is it that Jesus has to offer me that I'm not already experiencing? I love my family. I'm a good moral person. And so when we begin to talk about life with Jesus, the Bible talks about fruit. Everybody knows what fruit is? Hangs from a tree. And the Bible talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And it says that when we grow in knowing Jesus, our life with Jesus begins to change. It really changes every day. And life with Jesus looks like this. You don't have to raise your hand, but is there anybody in here who would like to have more love in their life? You'd like to be more loving. Is anybody in here like to have more joy in your life? This holiday season just hasn't seemed like it should. There just hasn't been the joy there. Anybody here like to have more peace? Just a peace in your heart, or patience, or kindness. We speak quickly and we speak sharply. Or goodness, or gentleness, or faithfulness, or self-control. Man, self-control. You know what? Life with Jesus is all of that and more. And when we want to experience life with Jesus, that's what He begins to bring into our lives. He begins to bring in all of those things that we need, all of those things that we desire, all those things that make us restless when we try to do it ourselves. Now, listen to this. We're talking about life with Jesus. Now, can you just live alone by yourself? Sure you can. But we're talking about life with Jesus. That's the party, see? That's for you and I. That's for other people. Life with Jesus. Have you ever seen a marriage where it looked like that one person was doing all the work? There was one person in the marriage who was doing the listening. And there was one person in the marriage who was doing the trying to communicate. And there was that one person in the marriage who was really trying to resolve conflict. And there was that one person in the marriage who seemed to serve more. And there was that one person in the marriage who was patient and kind and willing to work on it. And then there was the other person. And they just let that one person do all the work. And what happens is those kinds of relationships either end up falling apart because one person did all the work and the other person didn't. Or they end up staying together for a really long time in a really bad relationship with different lives and different schedules and different bedrooms. And the only thing that really brings them together is their family. That's what happens. That's not life with. That's cohabitation. Life with means we're in a give and take relationship. We talk to each other and we listen to each other. And we're there through the hard times. That's life with. You see, some of us are banking on the fact that we got married to Jesus a long time ago. And that wedding ring, when we asked Jesus to come into our life, when we kind of married Him, we entered into a relationship with Him, that's the thing that we go back on. Well, I know Jesus. But listen, are you experiencing life with Jesus? That's the question. You see, that's the party. That's where it all happens. Are you experiencing life with Jesus? Some of us look like this. It's almost like life with Jesus, to be with Jesus. It's kind of like our wallet. You know, most of us don't leave the house with it. I mean, if you don't have any pockets, you carry your wallet with you, you carry your purse with you. We just don't leave the house hardly without our wallet. It's always with us. You know, it's with me. It's always with me. It's there. Jesus is always with me, we'll tell people. I know Him. I came to know Him. He's always with me. We'll share that testimony. Mm-hmm. He's with me. He's with me. Oh, He's always with me. You know, but there's a mentality that Jesus is with me when I need Him. Is that your kind of Jesus? Or do you have the kind of Jesus that you just kind of pull Him out? You know, He's always with you, and when you need Him, He's going to be there. You're in trouble, He's going to be there. You need something, you fire one up, He's going to be there. He's with me. He's with me. But you know Jesus just about as good as you know the guys that are on the pictures of those bills in your envelope. You know why? Because life with Jesus is not just Him there for me. Life with Jesus is me being available to Him. You see, life with Jesus is not just saying, hey, Jesus, I need this. Hey, Jesus, I need that. Hey, I know that when I get in a crunch, when I get in a bind, You're going to be there. Life with Jesus is coming to Jesus and listening. Life with Jesus is saying, God, what do You want my life to look like? What do You want my decisions this week to look like? What do You want my relationships and my future and my thoughts and my words to look like? You see, that's life with Jesus. Why? Because He's there for me. He is there for me. And I am there to say, I will be and do whatever it is You want. I'm Yours. You see, life with Jesus is a relationship. And life with Jesus is listening And life with Jesus is being available. That's life with Jesus. Now, I want you to turn to your Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We're going to look at life with Jesus briefly right here. Jesus, in this passage, I want to tell you, boys and girls, listen to me, because this is real important where this happens. Jesus, if you remember, right before Jesus was arrested and he was crucified, Jesus had a meal with all of his disciples, all 12 of them. It was called the Last Supper. And that night, Jesus was arrested. Now, sometime between the time that Jesus had that meal with the disciples and he was arrested that night, he prayed this prayer. I'm going to read you a prayer. And he prays three prayers. We're going to read two of them. One prayer that Jesus prays, he prays for those 12 disciples. And one prayer that he prays for everybody in the whole world who will ever exist, that includes us, who will know him. Okay? Now, this is John chapter 17, beginning in verse 6. Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he says this. Boys and girls, it's up here on the screen if you want to read it. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. Now Jesus is talking about his disciples here. They knew with certainty that I came with you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. Do you hear that? In the world. We're going to come back to that in a minute. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that you may be one, they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them. Now, we're going to come back to that in a minute. I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so the scripture might be fulfilled. He's talking about Judas who betrayed him. Now, look at verse 13. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that you may be able to have the full measure of my joy within them. Now, listen to this. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I'm of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. We're going to stop right there for just a second and read some more in just a minute. Life with Jesus, when Jesus is getting ready, he knows he's about to be arrested and crucified. And he begins to pray for those men that he spent 3 years with. Those men who did what? Life with Jesus. And Jesus says, Father, this is what I want you to do in their lives. When I'm gone, this is what life with me will look like. That's what he's saying. Now, let's go on. Verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. Now Jesus is praying for us. Listen to this. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them. And you and me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. Did you hear that? Let's go back to that. I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world. Did you hear that? Jesus said, God, you love me before the creation of the world. Boys and girls, did you know that Jesus was in heaven with God when God created the earth, when God created the world in 7 days, when he created Adam and Eve? Jesus was in heaven. And the story we talked about today that Shane talked to you about, when Jesus was born, Jesus was born, he came out of heaven, and he came into our lives as a baby. And John says that Jesus, God, became flesh. He wasn't just in heaven, he wasn't just a spirit anymore, but he came to earth. And there's an Old Testament word that we hear around Christmas time called Emmanuel. It's a word for Jesus. Do you know what Emmanuel means? God with us. God with us. That's what he says. Now, let's go on to verse 25. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you've sent me. I have made you known to them. Last verse. And will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them. Listen to these last words. And that I myself may be in them. The last words of Jesus in his prayer to the Father, that I may be in them. Listen, what's he saying? What does life with Jesus look like? Well, it means this. Two different times in verses 12 and 15, he says, I have protected them. I have protected them. You have protected them. We were talking about a while ago that God's with us. He protects us. Now, what does he protect us? How does he protect us? Look at verse 15. Look back at verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Now, what's Jesus protecting us from? Is he protecting us from physical harm? Is Jesus protecting us so that we won't get hurt physically? Sometimes he does, but that's not what he's talking about here. Does it mean that when we live for Jesus, nothing ever bad will happen to us physically? Absolutely not. Look in the Scriptures. We'll see over and over and over people that suffered for Jesus. So, is he protecting us physically? No. When he says he's protecting us, is he protecting us from the world? From the evil influences of the world? And when we say world, we mean people who don't know Jesus. Is he protecting us from them? No. He's not protecting us from them. Who's he protecting us from? Verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Listen. Life with Jesus is life in the world. Life with Jesus is life in the world. Read it over and over and over. In fact, he states, I don't want to take them out of the world. I want you to be in the world. And I will protect you from the evil one, Satan, while you're in the world. And this is where we get into our holy huddle. This is where we get into our comfort. Because the most natural thing for us is to be attracted to people that are like us. And if we're a believer in Jesus, sometimes we just want to be around all people that are believers in Jesus. Sometimes we want our children to only be around believers in Jesus. Now listen, when we have the mentality, let me say this first. Back in the New Testament, remember when we talk about the Pharisees? Do you know what the Pharisees did, the religious leaders? They wanted to remove themselves from the world. Why? So they would not be tainted. So nobody's sin would rub off on them. Remember they said, Jesus, why do you eat with sinners and tax collectors? They accused John. They said, he doesn't drink and he doesn't eat and he's a sinner. And then they looked at Jesus and they said, you do drink wine and you do eat with sinners and you're a glutton and a wine bibber, an alcoholic. That's what the Pharisees said. You know why? Because they didn't want to have anything to do with people who sinned. And when Jesus came, he wanted to have everything to do with people who sinned. Jesus was in his element when he was around people who didn't know him. And the Pharisees said, I don't want any part of that. You know what happened in the first century? Has anybody ever heard of, you adults can raise your hands too, has anybody heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? Maybe like 20 years ago, some Dead Sea Scrolls. You know what the Dead Sea Scrolls were? they were some of the original or really, really early writings of Isaiah and in the Old Testament. You know where they found them? They found them in this region near the Dead Sea in Israel, and the region was called Qumran. Do you know who lived in Qumran? A sect of people, a society of people who had decided to remove themselves from the world. Their idea was, in order for us to be holy, in order for us to please God, we need to get as far away from the city and as far away from people as we can and have our own little community. That's what they said. That way, we'll please God more. You know what Jesus said? Be in the world. Be in the world. You know what happened centuries later and has continued? People began to build monasteries. And monks and nuns began to say, you know what? I'll honor God more if I remove myself and take myself out of society. And monasteries were built in high, tall mountains and in places where people could get away. You know why? Because their mentality was, I will love Jesus more and the sinful world won't rub off on me if I just get away from them. You know what Jesus said? Father, I don't ask you to take them out of the world. He says this, they're not any more the world than I am. I just ask you to protect them from the evil one. Listen, when you and I begin to adopt the philosophy that our children only need Christian teachers and Christian friends and our families only listen to Christian music and read Christian books and watch Christian movies and go to businesses that are owned by Christians, and the only people we have in our homes are Christians, and the only places that we go are to church and with other Christians, we're dangerously close to not having life with Jesus. Dangerously close. You and I live in a society that is not that far removed when it comes to religious thinking about our role and the role of our family in the world. Amen? Life with Jesus. It's in black and white. That's life with Jesus, folks. Life with Jesus is being protected. Life with Jesus is in the world. And life with Jesus, he says this, is that they might be one as we are one. God, that they would be unified, that they would be one just as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. That's life with Jesus. What is life with Jesus? Life with Jesus is this. It is day by day. It is in relationship. It is communication. It's listening. It's saying, I'm available. I'm available. Why? I'm available to be what you want me to be. Life with Jesus is a relationship that is important and that I listen to Him and I get to know Him and that I get to know Him through this Word and I get to know Him through prayer, and He sends me out and He sends you out into the world. Not being in the world is not life with Jesus. It's only part. Just the reason we only want to invite people is because we're not in the world. The reason we don't invest in people, the reason we don't have people into our homes and be good hosts, is because of the world we've built for ourselves. Listen, life with Jesus rubs up against everything in our lives that's comfortable, and it's the best kind of uncomfortable we'll ever feel. You know why? Because it changes us. He changes us, and when we read His Word and we come before Him, He, you know what? This Word, it's not stationary. It doesn't just sit there. We don't just read it. When we come to know Jesus, He comes to bear on our lives, and He makes us look like Him. That's life with Jesus. That is life with Jesus. Let me ask you this. Is He in you? You know that last phrase He said, and Father, I want to be in them. Maybe you're here for the very first time today. I want to ask you the question. Has there been a change in your life? Is He in you? Is He in you? Have you been around enough people and saw Jesus in them that you see that they have something you don't and you want that? you can come to know Him. All you have to do is ask Him and say, I need You in my life. I give You my life. Let me ask you this. Are you living life with Jesus? Are you living life with Jesus? I want to encourage you with something. Tonight and tomorrow, you're going to accomplish in about 30 minutes what you've been waiting all month to do. And about 10 minutes after that, some of us are going to think, is that all there was to it? We waited all month for this. That's not all there is to it. Let me tell you what it is. It's life with Jesus. That's what it is. And when you go tonight and you do what you've been waiting all month to do, and in the morning when you do what you've been waiting all month to do, you do that and you know that today, the 24th is to look like the 25th, and the 25th is to look like the 26th, and the 27th, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. You know why? Because the party is life with Jesus. That's the party. That's the party. That's every day. That's what He wants with you. That's what He wants with me. Let's pray.